Now, it's rather hard for me to say very much about the last month because when I was told a month ago to begin, I wasn't really sure what they had in mind. I had a lot of preconceived ideas of what the gods would ask at a certain time in my life, and I felt a great deal of fear that I would not be able to do whatever it was that I had been asked to do. So I spent a lot of the beginning part of my time trying to do something, and then I remembered that trying doesn't do it, and thinking won't win the day, and I had to even let that go, because if you remember, he kept saying, you can't do it with your mind. And since I didn't know what I was, you see the paradox, I didn't know what I was to be doing, so how could I do it? And then, even if I had known what I was to do, which I didn't, how would I know how to do it? What tools to use and how to go about it? The temptation was to ask others, and I knew that that was not the way, that they would not have asked me to undergo this time without some assurance that if I could shut up long enough and be alert long enough, through as many hours of the night as were available, that I would be able to come to some deep understanding. To share with you the deep understandings is very difficult because I learned one thing primarily. Whatever was shown to me, and there were three primary things, they are only the beginning. It is just almost as if I've opened a book to the table of contents and I have the chapters all defined, and now I've got to start doing them. I mean, it isn't as if it's finished, it's only beginning. And if the challenge was great before, I sense that it's even greater now. For example, one of the greatest things that I was shown in a deep interior state was as if an orb of light broke open and I saw flooding everyone at all times, from each one of us, love that we're always talking about wanting. And until I saw that, I had thought about love as something between two people, or at best six people or eight people. And however much I heard other, my heart said to me, sure, sure, but it's not really like that. But it is really like that. It is really like that. It has an absolute grounding in nothing other than continuous, unending, abundant, never-ceasing love. And I saw it, and I saw it, and I saw it. And I saw it in me, and I saw it in all of the people, and I saw it in all of the things, and I saw it everywhere and in every place. It was as if the universe had become moving movement. And the texture of the movement was not wisdom, which was not surprise those of you that know me, because I am a bhakti, and the first thing that I would see would be love, and I saw it. And I saw the illusion of saying that someone has to love you, because, my friends, what I saw about myself was not my concern for if people loved me, but my concern and terror that I was not capable of loving anyone else. I did not see the problem as other people loving me, but I saw, did I have, as a human, with all of my inadequacies and my fears and my bottom line of worthlessness, did I have within me the ability to love? Not just on the surface, like we're talking about, but from the depths, like he speaks about. And the fear that had haunted me all of these years, through all of my relationships, through all of my child rearing, through all of everything, with all of you I've touched for so many years, the underlying fear was, when the cards were down, when the hostility arose in you, whoever you were, could I still love? Could I hold to something deeper than that? And I saw what he means when he says, you do not love. You either allow it or you do not. And I understood that. All right, now, what does this only mean now? It's just the total beginning, because the very next day, as the gods are always prone to do, they present me with a situation, and I find myself having this ultimate choice. Can I now drop down into that light of wonder that I saw the day before with radiance that I thought I'd never forget? Or was I going to respond out of my same fear again, going back to it, back to it? Do you understand what I'm saying? The job has only begun. I mean, you know, before it was like, well, what can I say? It's just the beginning. Because now, each moment, each time that anything presents itself to me, the question has to come up, where am I going to go? You know, he said it so many times, where do you go when you're against the wall? Where do you go when you need it? Where do you go? And each time I see in my mind, I have a choice. I can either go down there or I can stay outside. And the only difference now is that I see clearly when the choice presents itself. It is no longer I find myself already following a pattern. I see it clearly. It's as if two roads part, and I stand there and I choose. And one is clearly the ego manipulation of the old patterns and how to achieve love from others and so forth. And the other side is this deep letting go that simply says, my job is not to have you love me. My job is to love you. It's all the other way around. You know, for years I've played it the other way. You know, please love me. Let me be what you want me to be so that you will love me. And it's all backwards for me. I mean, I'm not speaking for anyone else. It was backwards. The job is to love you. That's my job. The only thing that cannot at the end be taken away is my love for you. Any of you can come and go. But if I love you, you can't go anywhere. My love's still there. And that may sound very simple to you, but it didn't mean anything to me until I really saw what it was all about. When I saw love in motion, when I saw it as an absolute, unconditional, ever-present, ever-amazing reality, then never again, you see, this is how they trick me, right? Now again, he keeps saying, if you've seen it once, you know, you can't get away. Because once you've seen it, you can't say, well, I didn't know. So the excuse is gone. So the challenge seems, and sometimes much more sobering to me than it did before. All right, so another thing that I understood very deeply is, if you remember when we began, those of you that have been with us a long time, when we began our work with the space within, he kept saying, if you would just concentrate on the space within and without, it will teach you. It will show you. It will bridge for you. And I did a certain amount of work with that. But one afternoon I became very ill in the midst of this thing. I became very ill. And it was as if I was so dizzy that I couldn't move, and a whole lot of things were happening, and I was ill. And in the midst of an afternoon, I was laying quietly, and all of a sudden, it was as if someone tapped me on the shoulder, and they just said, look. And when they said, look, and I opened my eyes, which is what I thought they meant for me to do, I saw, and words will not do this, so please just try and carry me with your heart instead of your mind. I saw what he meant by the space that touches and moves and joins all of us. I saw with absolute knowledge that he was right. The space that he's talking about is what joins us. And it isn't our eyes, and it isn't our speech. It isn't the eye. It is the seeing, it is the seeing that joins us. It is the seeing that joins us. And that's all I keep saying it. It's the only thing that makes sense to me. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to you, perhaps. But I understood that it's this space that he keeps talking about that for so long I have played with, but have not really surrendered into. We talk a lot about surrender. And it came up that day to me. And it means different things at different times. And one of the things that it means deeply and totally to me is You don't have to go to an abyss to surrender. You don't have to get your life into a terrible mess of extremity in order to surrender, because each moment before your eyes, before my eyes, was the power of that space. And if you surrender into that space, things begin to happen. And I can't talk about it because it's just something that I experienced, that the space is no longer a hypothesis. The living space, the life of this, my words are really going to be a mess. The life of the space is real. The life is there. It's not a dream. It's not a hope. It's a reality. The life is really existent in that space. And it is always joining. So all of these illusions of separation are just words, 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 words. People say, I can't love, I can't join, I can't commune. And it's all a lie. Because all the time I saw the space that was just wondrously bridging all of this stuff. And we keep saying, we're not one, we have to struggle to be one. And it is a lie. It is a lie. Because it was there, and I saw it, and I knew. I knew, I knew, I knew. I knew I was one with the mattress, I was one with the wall, I was one with it all. And I knew, all right, now does that mean it's finished? Oh my God. It's just, you know, now comes the struggle of the power of the observation. Now comes the choice of the awareness. Now comes the moment-to-moment choice of, do I go with the space and fall into the wonder of that remembrance? Or do I start to look at you and play back old recorded messages from the moment before, and from our life before, and from last week and last month? And what is my choice then going to be? So, the other thing, the third thing that I can speak of, that I hope has some kind of meaning to you, is he speaks a lot about your universe and your life reflecting your reality of yourself. Well, for a long time, my reality of myself in my mind has been reflected as, what can I say, one down, not very worthy, not very this, not very name at all, whatever aspects of negative self-image you want to put out. But the one thing that I have seen in this month is, if it's true that my world reflects my view of myself, then I tell you that my view is changing. Because never in one month have I seen and felt and received as much love as I have in this month. Which means that somewhere inside there is a hopeful willingness to begin to accept love. Because you see, what I saw is, all of the time when you ask for love, the thing you're missing is, even when you get it, you don't accept it. And when it is given to you unconditionally, you say, that's fine for this moment, but prove it tomorrow. Prove it the next minute. Just keep on proving it. Keep proving it. We keep forgetting. It goes from moment to moment of forgetfulness. And so we continue miserably. Well, I don't know about you. Maybe you don't. I continue miserably, asking my universe to continually tell me it loves me again and again, never accepting once and for all. For those of you, and I feel many of you were there with me, I'm really very grateful to you. I'm really very, very grateful to you. There were times when I felt it really strongly. There are times when I felt very lonely, but it's irrelevant. The fact is, I would not exchange this month for any month of my life. What is left is a lot of, excuse me, damn hard work. I think he spoke wrongly when he said he would test me today. I think that the fact of the matter is, it's going to go on testing until the end of the line. I don't see that there's any way off this spiral of ours. You know, I think all that you can say is that I'm on one point of the spiral, and now wherever we will reach, we will have to go. That's really all I have to say. I don't feel in the slightest like the same person that sat here a month ago. In fact, if you want to talk about a time warp, it seems to me I've been in one. I mean, to say 4 weeks ago I was here is extremely strange to me. It seems to me it was 6 months ago. And it's hard to believe very much in time for me anymore, because it was all so very strange. If there are any questions that I could answer, I would be glad to.
Mary Margaret, are you going ahead with the meditation center?
The question is, are we going ahead with the meditation center? You bet. You see, the job rests now 100%. You see, what I saw, Wynette, is we're just beginning. We've made a lot of we. When I say we, who am I talking about? I'm talking about those people committed to freedom. Either they're in or they're out. Either we're going to sit there and work together and make it happen as much for each other, be as true mirrors for the light as we can, or we're not. It has nothing to do with anything except our willingness to go for the light. I can't see that we have a choice. I can't see that we have a choice. There's only one job that I see before us, and that's to find the light and to be with it and to be totally with it. And how to do it? The best way is to have a place, because what I was shown one day I went out onto the mesa, down into the Rio Grande and up over the entirety of it all. It's beautiful. And the meditation center hall was on my mind, because we'd had a meeting and so forth. And all of a sudden there came into my mind this feeling of how this thing should look. And I was terrified, because we'd already set up a committee that was supposed to look at it. And I thought, oh boy, this committee's going to just love it. Big mouth Mary Margaret's going to come in and say, this is how it should look, and everything's going to start to shake, and oh boy. But I thought, well, I'm going to submit it anyway. But as I was sitting there, I saw what the meditation center was all about, and I would like to explain that. When you get to some of the extremities of meditation, through deep love or through deep meditation or a combination of both, which are ways to reach this thing, you get into very, very scary water. Very scary water. Your reality starts to shift and shimmer and fall apart. Things that looked very real are no longer real. Your body takes on a different feeling. Your vision of everything is absolutely changed. Your reality takes a warp. Everything starts to fuzz. And if you do not have a protected, power-filled area to work in, I think your job's a lot harder. I think that's the whole reason they have temples and churches and Zen meditation centers. It's only when the world starts to fall apart, there's enough power in that room that you won't be so afraid, because you become terrified. There have been moments of absolute terror. To say that things broke open, that's fine. That doesn't talk about the terror that came before that moment of breaking, when there was nothing but the black. You know, there wasn't the breaking open until the blackness was so filled that I could hardly stand it. And then the blackness broke open, and then the light sprung out of it. And I was in a strange room, in a place with a lot of, almost said strange people. I don't know how strange they were, because I didn't know. They were strangers to me. And I was in a strange room, and the environment was not supportive, because nothing had been built in it. It didn't have that power that was necessary in order to pull you at least to a grounded state of no fear. Do you understand? There has to be, if we're serious, if anybody is serious, then we've got to build it. If nobody's serious, then no, we don't have to build it. I am serious. That's all I can tell you. My answer is, when if I have anything to say, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Because I know why it's needed. It isn't so we can sit around on our fannies and do meditation. That's helpful. It's when that time comes, and if we're serious, it will come. Do we have a place where they're going to pick us up and hold us long enough to make us less fearful? And if we build it right, and if we build the power in it correctly, then it will flood in and help us. Because what I sensed when I was in my darkness was the flooding in of the area around where I was. And the first level was terrifying, because there were people around there that were smoking grass and doing all this stuff, and I was picking up that, and I had to get past that These are, you know, I just took a room in a strange house, all right? I had to get past that out onto the mesa itself. And when I could get out past onto the flat of the mesa where there was nothing there, then the power of the land helped. But let me tell you something. The power of the land is too scary. It is so open. It is so unlimited. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's so wild. The land is so wild, it is in itself almost overwhelmingly frightening, because it is so terribly natural and abundant. So I saw that what I needed, what would have been extremely helpful for me, was to have had a sanctuary, call it what you want, but that's the word I would use, where I could go and have sat there and have felt the power of those who had called it in. So yes. If I have anything to say about it, it will be done. Because I need it. I mean, I'm utterly, totally selfish. I need it. Those of you who need it, use it. Those of you who aren't serious, or if you live too far away, oh, no problem. But there's got to be a place where people who have said, I am going for it, will have a place that they will feel at least somewhat secure. And even then, it isn't going to be easy. Even then, it's going to be terrifying. Because that's something else I learned. It's terrifying. When everything falls, when there's nothing, well, never mind. But it is terrifying. When everything that you've constructed so carefully just goes over like a box of matches, and there's nothing, there's no walls, there's no windows, there's nothing but the wind blowing, and it is scary. And I will not fool you. And the first thing you want to do is pick up all your matches and make another little wall, or just a little wall, you know, just a little one. Not too big, just little, you can fit in. And then the next day, oh boy, you put in a few more, don't you see? And then the next day, more and more and more. And so when the process begins, there's got to be a place where people care enough to support the people who are going for it. Because you can't, the thing that threw me was having to stop every morning, get up, get dressed, go to school, teach school, come back, you know, this kind of thing. It was fragmented all the time. And although that was important, because that was much to be learned about that, it was not, I saw what is necessary for the really movement into the final reaches. It takes a place of isolation. It takes people who will feed you. If people hadn't fed me, I would not have been fed. I simply didn't care. And if I didn't have good friends to say, eat, I wouldn't have eaten. Because you don't care. And something tells you that if you can get down to it, down to it, down to it, further and further, you've got a better chance, you know. So you don't eat, so you don't sleep. So you get yourself on the ragged edge, you know, it's an old Zen technique, and it works. You get to the ragged edge, and then they can get you. You know, so deliberately you set it up so that you fall over the edge. So I need it. Because I'm going to go for it. Because I've got to go for it. I see no choice. I see no life worth living without it. If it doesn't happen, then I'll have to find a place where I can go for it. I would like it to happen, because there are a few of us up there that are deadly serious. And we can help each other a great deal. And those of you who feel drawn to come, we will be there for you. When it's your time. When it's your need. When you say, here I am, take care of me. And that's what you've got to say. Take care of me. Because that's what I needed to say. Please take care of me. I can't do it. I can't do this and take care of myself too. It just can't be done. So I don't care if it's, you know, 3 feet by 3 feet. We've got to have something.
Is there a time when this should be completed? Because Bart did mention that one.
Later on this evening, we'll see. If there is a feeling, well, all kinds of things are possible. But we have to wait and see about the rest of tonight. So I think I've gone on quite long enough.
Hi, Margaret.
Yes.
Do you recommend sitting in meditation in the silence as much as possible? The longer, the better?
What I found, Uget, was I couldn't do it. I had to move. The body started pushing me, and I had to move. So I walked a lot. In the dark of the night, I'd just go out and walk on the mesa. You know, I couldn't do it any other way. I'd walk. It depends on you, you know. Some people's bodies are such that they're, I mean, I was on the ragged edge. I mean, I was too nervous. I was too nervous in many ways to talk about that kind of thing, you know. If I had been in a very, quiet, faith. That's probably possible. I wasn't there, Huguette. I was too far out on the periphery. I mean, I don't know what I was. I couldn't do it. Okay. I think that at certain times that would be the way. For certain people that might be the way. For other people it isn't. I saw another thing. There are no rules. You go by your inner voice. You do what you're... Whatever they tell you to do inside, you do it. And you do it totally. And if you start withholding, you're going to miss. Whatever that is, whatever it is. And that's scary because they tell you to do some really weird things. You think it's all organized, you're just going to sit in pious meditation. Oh, boy. It would have been terrific, but that's not what they had in mind. So, anyway, if that was how you would be led, by all means. All I know is that was not for me. I was just, the energy was... The reason you can't sleep because the energy is going so fast, because there's so much of it, and it's almost uncontrollable, and you have to find a way. And each person has to find, this is why they say it's charterless sea. You've got to find your own way. When the sea rises, you've got to find your own way to swim, because boy, there's nobody out there but you. And then somebody said to me, is there anybody out there but you? Just using those words. And the answer is, I don't know about anybody, but there certainly is something. There certainly is something, amazingly, wondrously something, that I will never doubt again. There is a power that upholds, that never fails. I know because I saw it. I know because I felt it, and I will not doubt it again. Ever. Not a BART power, not a specific power, but a power that transcends all of that garbage and all the words that we talk about. And I saw it. And that makes all the difference in my life. Because once seen, you may forget, but I think they'll have a way of reminding us.
Mary Margaret, you said they told you, did you actually...
Did I hear voices? Oh yeah, I had the whole thing, Kay. I got the voices, I got the visions, I got the inner stuff, I got the outer stuff. It was just a really... And sometimes I thought I was on drugs. I didn't know what was happening. Yeah, it was all happening. And strangely, in the daytime, you know, I'd just be doing an ordinary thing with little darling Jasmine, this little girl I adore who I teach, and she's sitting on my lap, and I'm looking at her face, and all of a sudden, boom, her face opens up, and I see something. Thinking, good gracious, Jasmine, what's happening to you? And I realized, no, it's not happening to Jasmine, it's happening to me. This kind of thing all the time. Something's opened, something's changed, something's different. That's all I know. I mean, somebody said, well, what center could you locate it in? It shifts, it moves, it goes here, it goes there. I don't know.
But if you called for help and guidance, did you feel it?
You bet. Only when I shut up long enough to feel it. Because what I saw that we do is get schizophrenic. We go, help, 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 help. We're screaming so loud, and all the stuff is pounding in, and you're screaming so loud you can't hear it. So I saw that there takes a time of the screaming out, and then there's a time of the let go into the feeling and becoming one with and immersing with that energy. Yeah, for sure. And it was always there. It was always there. It was always there. The problem was my screaming and calling and yelling and asking and you know, pursuing instead of the letting go and allowing. I saw all of this clearly. Oh, it's always there again. It cannot not be there because you see it's here. You know, that's the space thing. You see, it's the space. It is it. The space is it.
And we don't need to sit down in a special manner.
You do not have to do any of that. You see, I saw it as a continued... All I did, whenever I tried to be very righteous and regular about things and get up at a certain time and meditate, now it was a travesty. It was nonsense. Because the job that they were saying was, look, lady, if you're going to pull this off, it's 24 hours or you're not going to do it. And the nights were worse. The sleep was interrupted constantly. It just went on and on and on. And events kept coming up, relationships, all of these things kept coming up with the one thing of saying, can you see it now? Can you see it here? Can you see it here? Can you let go here? And just kept going on and on relentlessly. It isn't finished. You know, here I am, but it's not finished. You know, he tricked me. Anyway, I've gone on babble, but I did want to share that.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is it important that we do anything, like even make a decision? To me, that seems like an act of, like, make a decision, or...
How do I know? Stefan, look. All I know is that you know that answer.
Because I saw that. You know your own answers. The minute you pose the question, you know the answer. And people that go around saying they don't know the answers are just simply not quieted enough to see, because the answer and the question arise simultaneously. There is no separation. You can make any separation you want out of it, but it's there. You know, it's all there. How do I know, dear friend? Your way is your way. My way was my way. Do I recommend my way? God, no, I don't recommend my way. If it's yours, then take it. But you'll only know when they start pushing you into the corner and you know what you've got to go and do. You know, disrupt your life, stand it on its head, you know, do all of these things. Who can say? All I know is I was in such a boxed framework of limitation that to stay in that boxed limitation of my own making would have absolutely guaranteed no breakthroughs. Other people's lives are perfectly adequate. They can break through them in them. Perhaps this is one of those relationships that allows that. You know, each man in his own way. But I also saw it's a real lie to say you don't have a path. It's a lie to say you don't have a path. Because you all have a path. We have a path. We do, we do, we do. The thing is, we keep looking outside to a structure of some kind. We have a path, and it's always banging on us. If we would just listen, it bangs every day, and we all know. I got banged on so much, I felt like a box, what are they called?
A punching bag.
Right. You know, I mean, it's just that it's not that there isn't anything. They're just banging all the time so much, you just got to decide which ones you're going to listen to, because it's happening all the time. It's just happening all the time. So, here I am, and for what it's worth. So, thank you. I would like to say a few things. I won't say much this evening. There are certain things that I think some of you understand now that you did not understand a month ago. At least that is my hope. And it is this. Those of you who have found in this month's time that there is deep sincerity in your heart for the quest and the end of a seemingless, endless journey, you will perhaps have noticed that when you go within, there is a certain need for some kind of grounded technique that you may or may not possess. Those of you that possess those techniques, I hope and pray you use them this last month. Those of you that did not, perhaps found yourself lost and awash. The way is simple. The way is very simple. What I hope some of you awakened to was, do you want it? Or did you use this month as an excuse to take time off? An excuse for, well, I can't do it now because I don't have anyone to guide me. The movement of my work is changed, and I would like to lay that out very carefully. I make a direct and heartfelt call to anyone listening to this tape who feels that they are truly dedicated, without question, to following the journey to the end. If they feel that I possess any kind of ability to guide them, then I lay myself ready to do that. To those of you who do not feel that, who simply use the tapes as a way of doing something during the day so that you do not have to do your inner work, then I would suggest that you decide not to participate any longer in my work. I'm asking you to stop listening and to start doing. And those of you that are listeners, please drop away. And those of you that are workers, then let's get going. That is my call to you. That means I hold myself ready in the land to the north to see anyone who cares enough for the journey to make the journey to see me. Do you understand? Part of the way is to find the way, is to get out of your chair and to get into your car or to get into a plane and to go, instead of waiting for it to come to you. Part of the journey is deciding and going. Do you understand? It's the going that becomes part of your journey. And I will be available. That is my promise. But you've got to get there. You have got to get there. Now, does this mean that the woman will not travel? She has made a commitment to go to Detroit. She will go to Detroit. She will meet her commitment by all means. But when that is finished, then the traveling that takes place will be done in a very different way and for very careful reasons. But it will go on, but in a very different framework. Do you understand what I'm saying? The day of my simply speaking and so forth, and people listening and maybe hearing and maybe not, is finished. I'm asking you to separate yourselves out. Once a month, I feel it's very important. What is the large township?
Albuquerque.
I think that's important. Those of you that live here, if you would not mind sacrificing one Sunday to make the trip up there, that would be nice. If that's too much trouble, then don't come. The job is to get centered, the job for her and the job for you. Once a month, I will be available. Private interviews will be held in the land to the north, and I will be available. Now, what do I mean by a private interview? And I want to be very specific. As you move through the different layers of your fear, which is all we're talking about, you're going to need someone, a big brother, that says, look, keep on going because you can go. That's all I'm doing. Do you understand? It's when the fear grips you and you cannot move past it, you need a hand. And I will be there, but you've got to come too. I am there and I am willing. I'm laying out my heart to do with it what you will. I have ways to help you. And I will give it all. But not unless you can give all to me. And if it's too inconvenient to travel to me, fine. Then understand that your traveling on the path is one of convenience. It's just not convenient. Other than the once a month Albuquerque trip, there will be one Sunday meeting in the land on the north. And that will be that. Twice a month, and that will be that. If there are no relevant questions, then we will just have no meeting. At last, I'm asking from a questioning and a coming from you to me, because I have said everything that I can say. What's left now is to take those of you who have got the courage to move out with me. If you have that courage, I'll take you all the way. But when you become obstructed, instead of coming and saying, help me, you do other. I cannot push on you, but I am there, and I am there for you. I want this to be absolutely clear. I have one job left, and that is those of you who really are sincere, who have really decided, for whatever reason, that this is what you want, I am yours. But no more prattling. None. The quality of the questions now becomes all important. I am not going to answer questions that do not directly, intimately, and immediately deal with what we are trying to do. Do you understand? It's all been said. If you have a question that is already answered, I'll simply say, fine, ask the good Dr. Reagan. He has tape number 287, and he'll take care of it. I'm not going to answer questions like that anymore. In group meetings, the kinds of questions I want is the serious student who says, and there may be only three of you, and you say, look, I have been working for 1 month since I saw you last, and this is what's happening to me in my meditations, in my mind, in my being. Help me. And I am only going to deal with direct experiential answers. Do you hear me? No more theories. It's finished. Not one more cosmological question will I answer, because it's finished. If you have a spiritual quest question about your quest, not a dream, not an idea, not a book, but you, something has happened in your life, in your being, I will respond. If you have not any of these, then there's nothing to say. Am I clear? Have I put it out exactly clearly? Do you understand me? The nature of the private and the public tapes are the same. You do not have to have private sessions all the time anymore, because that can be done in a public session. There are some times that you need to have a private session, of course, and then I am always available. For intimate spiritual techniques, it's much better to be private, because my finding is, if I tell Dr. Darling to do thus, then I find that somebody on the other side of the room hearing the tape does it too, and they should be doing the exact opposite. There is no correlation between the instruction given person A and person B, but person B picks it up and thinks it's their own. Do you understand? To anyone hearing this tape, I say this. If you do not have a way, an inner way, of finding that which you already are, I stand ready to help you find it. The nature after Detroit, please understand Detroit, this has nothing to do with that. I will take care of my obligations in whatever way is meaningful there. But from that moment on, when I return, that's finished. Our groups will deal with, I have meditated, or I have worked on, or I have practiced awareness this month, and this is my experience. Help me. And I will answer you. If you have not done any of that, please don't come. It will be irrelevant for you to sit here. Please don't come. If you have not spent the month working on what I'm talking about, don't bother to come, because you'll get nothing. But out of the group, you see, I'm trying to turn us into a true community of seekers together, sharing, moving. And one says, this is my fear, this is my feeling, help me. And so then we speak, and maybe other people will speak too. Maybe the Hierophant sitting here doesn't need to be the Hierophant anymore. Maybe there are a lot of Hierophants sitting around. I want the nature of this work to change. Do you understand? I'm asking you to make the commitment to your own growth. And if you make it, then I will be there to take you into whatever depth that I feel is the next one. But if you're not doing it, don't come. The lectures are finished. The hypothetical questions are done. There's only one thing left. Either we experience, and out of that experience arises genuine, bona fide questions of path, or nothing is being done. Are there any questions? No. It is also very possible that different force fields of energies are going to begin to take place. That means that according to the question asked and the questioner who asks the question, different powers, you see, the woman has done perhaps more than she knows in the last month. And so with the openings that are taking place in the various centers, I will be able now, or they will, use what words you will, we will, whatever, be able to start being more intimate. For example, some of you come from traditions that have masters that are very clear and precise with great and powerful teachings, and some of you are ready, except you don't come to ask. Now there is an opportunity to pull in power from a much vaster source. I don't want to talk about that very much, because it will be confusing, but in answer to your very appropriate question about the meditation center, if there is enough desire for freedom for the handful of people up there to get that building up, then in August I will do what is very theoretically called a meditation workshop, which is nothing more than an intensive time with me that will bring you to the point of finding out, do you have a center? Can you find it? And once you find it, can you stay in it? That's the job. If you don't want that, don't come. If you want it easy, don't come. If you want fancy food and lodgings and a lot of pampering, don't come. If you don't want heat and bugs, don't come. If you want grounding and a further chance of knowing who you are, then you better be there, because it can be done. If your need is strong enough, it will be met. It will be met. And that's what it's all about. A place to begin. And out of that, however many days we set aside, will begin the grounding of the power that will begin to carry you when you really get serious. Because, my friends, you've got to understand, you are not serious. This is all I'm asking you to see. The most serious ones of you are still not serious enough. Do you understand? It's not like that. It's just got to be so total that you cannot live and breathe anything, any moment, without that being the goal. It has to be that way, or you aren't going to get it. Whatever you are doing, it's got to be the goal. Find center, and the goal is always with you. Without your center, you're not going to find it. You can find center. It's not hard. What's hard is to hold it. And that's what the meditation workshop is all about, holding it. Come if you want, but come at your own peril, because it's not going to be the Ritz. It's going to be very simple, and it will be very hard. But I call you to come, those of you that really want to be there. So that's it. I love you all, and good night.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.